It is Thursday, August 20th, and I am a father of four, officially. Just had my son Monday at 9.03 p.m., contrary to my tweet that, unbelievably, people believed. I thought it would be obvious it was a joke, but people took it serious. I did not name my son Urban Meyer Smith. Didn't know that I would have to clarify that. But no, Luke Zachary Smith, 8 pounds even, was born on Monday night, and he's amazing, man. I'm so excited to have a fourth go at this, and I'm blessed, man. I just got to tell you for a minute, I have the best kids ever. I mean, you talk about amazing. My 10-year-old boy, my 8-year-old daughter, my 3-year-old daughter, and now my newborn son. All of the older kids are so respectful. They're very well-behaved, very intelligent. I'm just extremely blessed, and I wanted to share it with you because, you know, you go through something like the birth of your son, of your child, and you just start reflecting on so many things. And just, I'm very blessed, very fortunate, and I wanted to share it with you. So moving on out of my personal saga, my personal life, we have an awesome episode planned. Aaron Torres from Fox Sports Radio host is joining us. Going to have a great conversation. He lives out in California, so I'm most excited to get kind of the Pac-12 perspective on the cancellation, what happened. We're also going to talk about the latest news. Kevin Warren, the courageous leader, Kevin Warren, has decided to basically ruin everyone's life in the Midwest. So we're going to talk about that, some things that I've learned, and some new developments in that fight, in that case. But we're going to get to that in a minute. But first, I want to talk to you about one of our sponsors, one of our supporters, and products that I've employed, and they sent me, and it's been a game changer. So I had a company reach out to me a couple weeks ago that was interested in the show, and they wanted to share their products with me. It's Bioptimizers is what it's called. And they sent me a litany of products, a bunch of bottles of all these different pills that are natural supplements that help a number of things. And the big thing that they're focused around is magnesium. It's the number one mineral to fight stress and fatigue. And when they hit me up, I was like, boys, fight stress and fatigue. With the way 2020's going and the stress and fatigue that I'm feeling, not only that, but also the fact that I'm about to have a newborn baby, I could really use something to fight stress and fatigue. So I started taking it 2 weeks ago, and I got to tell you, it is a game changer. It's big time. I mean, I feel so much better than I used to, and I started researching and read about it, and it's not just any type of magnesium. It's the one that I recommend is the Magnesium Breakthrough. That's the one I've been taking every day because it combines all 7 essential forms of magnesium into one convenient little supplement. It's awesome. And I got to tell you, when you get all 7 from what I've read, pretty much every function in your body gets upgraded, from your brain to your sleep, pain and inflammation, less stress. I mean, it's unbelievable. With one simple action, you can reverse my magnesium deficiency, which I didn't even know that I had, but I had to have because I feel so much better. So I just wanted to share it with you guys. And obviously, them being supporting the show now, they gave us the 10% discount with the coupon code MENACE10. All you got to do is go to bioptimizers.com/menace. That's bioptimizers.com/MENACE. And like I said, if it's MENACE10 is the discount code, I'm telling you, take it. Just a couple weeks, you'll notice a huge difference. So I highly, highly recommend it. But check that out. Either way, we got some content to do. We got some content to create, and we have some conversations to have. We got to talk about this shit, man. So let's. I didn't tell you last episode. I forgot. Got a new intro. A little Ricky Gervais coming at you on the new intro for Menace of Sports. Let's get to the show.
What a hit, Denzel Ward! You got barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
You'll be pleased to know this is the last time I'm hosting. I don't care anymore. I'm joking. I never did.
Braxton Miller's loose spin move. Miller heading for the end zone.
You're in no position to lecture the public about anything. You know nothing about the real world.
He'll run it after the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Lucky for me, the press can barely speak English.
But they are who we thought they were.
Well, he has trouble with the snap, and the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts Jackson, and he scores on the last play of the game. Unbelievable.
Well, then get the fuck out of here then. Okay, see ya.
Welcome to episode 111, the lucky 111. Zach Smith, your host, fortunate and blessed to be joined by Aaron Torres, a Fox Sports Radio host and host of the Aaron Torres podcast. Check it out. He is awesome, and you're going to get some great conversation here coming up. But I want to start before we get there and talk about what has went on since the last episode. Obviously, the last episode was released on Monday to Patreon and on Tuesday to the rest of yous, and here we are. The Ohio State was, here's what I know, Ohio State was trying to get a season done, and it was never going to happen. From my conversation with people at multiple schools, the one school that I don't have anyone on the inside is Michigan. I guess I burned that bridge with the incompetent Ed Warner, but it's just interesting to see everything that's gone on, because basically Michigan's governor is the reason, one of the big reasons, that we are not going to have a Big Ten season. So they had this idea that it was a long shot. It wasn't really realistic. Talking to Ohio State peoples, they didn't really think they could get it done, but they wanted to try, mostly for their players. You know, they felt obligated. And so it was never a reality, but they pushed forward, trying to get six teams to commit, and so that each team could play a home-and-home series and play the other five teams in the Big Ten twice to get a 10-game season. The reality was Michigan was never going to let that happen. The governor had pressure on the University of Michigan from, 3 months ago when she came out and said all athletic contests until January 1st are shut down, cannot happen. Now, it's going to be interesting to see what the Lions do, right? But that was her initial plan. Obviously, she walked it back to an extent, but she had an immense amount of pressure being put on the University of Michigan to make sure that they did not play. So ultimately, it was a futile attempt. Michigan and Wisconsin shut it down quick, and really a sad state of affairs. But the most sad state of affairs was this vote, or not a vote, or was it a vote? We don't know if it was a vote. The conflicting reports are wild, right? The Nebraska AD comes out and president comes out and says that there most certainly was a vote, and they don't know where this misinformation that there was not a vote came from. So now you have people that are just flat lying. Someone is. I mean, if nothing else, you can assume the fact that probably Kevin Warren is lying, right? Based on his actions after the fact, he's probably the one that's lying. But the one thing you can't deny is that either some of these presidents and ADs that are saying there was a vote, either they are lying, or Kevin Warren and the schools that are shutting down the season are lying about there not being a vote. There is a liar. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Someone is lying. And if you look at the actions, right, I doubt it's Nebraska. Nebraska's administration. I mean, they wanted to play. They were open about wanting to play, very public about wanting to play. When it got shut down, they talked about exploring other conferences. They talked about finding a way to play. So I doubt they're going to lie about there being a vote and it getting voted down. Now, this guy, Kevin Warren, what do you think the odds are that he lied? This is a guy that cowers from any of this entire situation. You have parents, Randy Wade, Sean Wade's father, is going up there tomorrow to protest at the building, at the Big Ten office. And Kevin Warren, I mean, they did not respond for what? Over a week, 10 days, 9 days. But here's what I think, and I tweeted this out. What I think people need to see is the Ohio State parents and other parents at other schools, right? Penn State, Iowa, a handful of schools wrote a letter to Kevin Warren demanding that he answer them why this season got canceled. And the deadline was yesterday. And the cool thing was, is he answered yesterday. Now, it was a coward answer. It didn't say anything. It was a joke what he responded. But he responded. He was demanded by the parents. He was demanded by the parents to respond by August 19th, and he responded on August 19th. If that doesn't show you that these families and kids are realizing the power that they have, and the administrators are bending over backwards to meet their demands. I mean, they're not going to put the season back on, and we'll get to why. Kevin Warren gave an interview, which I don't know the guy's name, Sporting Journal, Sports Journal, something. This guy's a clown show journalist. He should never, ever, ever, ever be watched again, because he let the commissioner of the Big Ten come on and just, I mean, gave him softball questions, cake questions. Didn't ask him at all. He gave him a vague question about canceling the season and allowed Kevin Warren to skate out of it with a basically, yeah, we had to make some tough decisions. I mean, that was basically his answer. He didn't give any justification, nothing. He gave nothing. And the guy that conducted the interview just let him get away with it. It was insane. But the one thing he said that struck me, I mean, immediately made the hairs on the back of my neck stand up, was he said the next couple of months are critical as Election Day approaches, encouraging Big Ten athletes that they need to vote in November. If that doesn't tell you this guy's agenda, then I don't know what does. He shut down football in the Midwest, where there is an enormous amount of swing states, to make people irately frustrated with Donald Trump and his response to the coronavirus and blame him for shutting down their passion in college football to try to get him not reelected. This is a commissioner of a football, an athletic conference, right? He shut down an athletic season for political reasons. If you can't see it, you're dumb and blind. He didn't do it for medical reasons. There's a multitude of doctors that are coming out across the country saying that these kids should play. It makes zero sense. He did it because he's a Democrat and he's donated to Democratic parties forever. Now, I'm not sitting here politicizing this show. I don't know that I'm a Republican or a Democrat. I usually lean Republican at times. I'm certainly not a huge Donald Trump fan. I don't hate the guy either. I don't think he's done a horrible job. I'm not here to talk about that. What I believe to my core is they're all fucked up. And when you start bringing politics into sports, you're really fucking sports up and you're screwing people. That's what I believe. He brought politics into college football to push some agenda that he wanted and these liberal presidents wanted. And he's pushing that to try to influence the November election. God forbid this guy remains the commissioner after this year, because if he does, I can't see being a Big Ten fan anymore. I mean, you talk about a gap widening. We're going to get into more. The cool thing is the attorney Tom Mars, if those of you that don't know him, he handled the Justin Fields transfer case. He's been a name that the NCAA and college conferences know about. He's filing a Freedom of Information Act with the 13 public schools in the Big Ten, requesting all emails, texts, and all information related to this cancellation, because he's going to put together the full picture of how all this went down. And the other part of it is, I'm no lawyer. I don't know the law that well. I know it better than I'd like to be honest with you, criminal law specifically. But I've spoken with a handful of lawyers, my lawyers, and then also other lawyers that are friends of mine. And the overwhelming consensus is these players and families have a real shot at a lawsuit against the Big Ten based on loss of value, because these conferences have to prove, and especially with Tom Mars and his Freedom of Information Act, God help you if there was emails or texts talking about politics or anything like that, or if there wasn't emails or texts with medical professionals saying you should not play, this is dangerous. If that doesn't exist in this Freedom of Information Act request, then these players and their families are going to have a major lawsuit at their fingertips that they could file. And I hope they do. I hope they just bend the Big Ten over and shove it square up their ass. Because that's what they deserve. The other thing that I think is evident, more evident than ever, is what media members really believe this shit and are trying to drive this political narrative home. I look at people in the local media and in the regional media. I mean, the guy Kyle Rowland from Toledo is a fucking joke. You couldn't scream, "I want there to be no football because I'm a liberal bitch," louder than he does. And other ones too, national guys, Pat Ford. He came out yesterday in a piece and said, "Can the loony player parents who talked about going to Chicago to confront Commissioner Kevin Warren find something more important to protest?" Like what, Pat? More important than their children? What the fuck is wrong with these people? This is college football, and it got shut down in two conferences because they're a bunch of pussies and because they're trying to drive political narratives. No, there's not anything more important that they would like to protest than their children and how this is impacting their children, Pat. Complete joke. The other thing that came out, I'm shocked about. The NCAA has decided that players will not lose eligibility for competing this year. I can't imagine the ramifications of that. Can we think about that for a minute? The Southeastern Conference is going to play an entire season, and all the players that play get a free pass to do so. And then they get to come back next year. And it'll be interesting. A couple things that'll be interesting. Like, how does that, what does that do with scholarship limits? They do, are they just free passes until 4 years from now? Do they get to go from 85 to 110 scholarship athletes? Because if so, these teams in the South are getting going to be really, really loaded. And up North they will too, but we already talked about the ramifications of not playing a season. So they get to have all these kids come back, plus a whole new class. Now, granted, they're going to lose kids to the NFL. The kids that are going to get drafted are going to leave. But all the kids that maybe were going to be third, fourth rounders at Alabama that are great college players, they're going to come back for a whole nother year. And then you're going to add 25 kids walking in the door of four and five stars. These teams are going to be loaded. And it's only going to further widen the gap between the Big Ten. I mean, it just is. Granted, I get the other side of the argument. Well, Ohio State can do the same thing. That's true. But they don't get to play. And then this bullshit 12 hours a week rule? I don't, just do the math on that. So I immediately look at my time as a coach, right? So in the NCAA, when you're in season, there's a 20-hour rule. You get 20 hours of instruction and time with your athletes. They're talking about giving teams that aren't playing a 12-hour rule to still work with them. And it just blows my mind because here's what you don't realize. That is just in a regular season. That's why bowl games are so important when teams make bowl games, because you get a whole extra month of teaching and coaching. But so these teams that are going to play just in the regular season are going to have 280 hours of instruction with their athletes. The teams that don't play are going to get 168 hours of instruction. That's over 100 extra hours that the Southern schools get to train and develop their athletes on the field. It's the most priceless time you could ever spend. They get a 40% increase on coaching time and on-field instruction time. That is, the gap is getting huge because of this. If you're not paying attention, call it doomsday, call it whatever you want. It's fucking absurd. The Big 12, SEC, and ACC are going to have over 100 extra hours to train their players. It's unbelievable. But I just wanted to bring that up because the NCAA once again fucks up, and I just love to point it out. NCAA screws up again. It could be the show title for every show. The other thing, speaking of the NCAA, Cade Mays, if you don't know his story, he was a big-time O-lineman coming out of high school. We tried to recruit him. Didn't have a shot. Ended up going to Georgia. He just transferred to Tennessee for some bullshit. His dad cut his finger and is suing Georgia, so he transferred, right? He got denied his eligibility request. Based on the rules, he probably shouldn't be eligible. But based on recent history, he certainly should. I can't get over the fact that Tate Martell transferred to Miami because he knew he couldn't beat out Justin Fields, and they afforded him the right to play right away. What the fuck did he endure? What was his reason? I mean, at least Cade May's dad is suing Georgia, so he wanted to get out of there because it's obviously something that was not an ideal situation. I can't fathom their justification for doing the things they do at the NCAA. I mean, they're denying kids with real reasons, and they're giving kids with no reasons eligibility. It's just the NCAA, if you don't believe it by now, has to go. I mean, if defund the NCAA, it should be a new campaign. Defund the NCAA. Get rid of them. Get a new governing body, for the love of God. But I want to get to our interview before this goes too long, my rant, because Aaron Torres, I'm excited to have him on the show. Really excited to talk about just the state of college football, and really, I want to get perspective into the West Coast. So we'll take a quick break for one of our sponsors and be right back with Aaron Torres from Fox Sports Radio. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Let's talk about something we could all use more of right now. Sex. Great sex. Guys, now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill. So you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is made in the USA. It's prescribed online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor or wait in line. It's even cheaper than a pharmacy, and they prepare and ship it right to you. In a discreet package, no awkwardness, and you don't need to leave the house. If you could benefit from more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code MENACE. You just pay $5 shipping. Give it a try. I'm telling you, it's big time. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code MENACE to try it for free. Blue Chew is a better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. And remember, when you support our sponsors, you help make this podcast possible. So be sure to use our promo code MENACE at BlueChew.com. All right, really excited about our next guest, host on Fox Sports Radio and of the Aaron Torres podcast, a college football insider, if you want to call him, analyst. But I really enjoy his show. I really enjoy his content. So really fired up for the conversation, Aaron. Thanks for joining us.
Zach, a pleasure of mine. I was telling you before we started, I listen to the show all the time. I become a smarter football fan by listening. And I think you and I share a lot of the same opinions on what's going on right now in the larger college football world as a whole. Our voices, are trying to be drowned out. So it's a pleasure, man. I'm really looking forward to chatting with you.
Absolutely. Well, I want to start there with what you just said, because there's been a lot of conversation about a lot of people in sports media, and people are accusing maybe some reporters, some writers, some media hosts, some podcast hosts, some you know, people on TV of being kind of anti-college football season. And I get both sides of it. Like, obviously, these people are paid to cover college football, so they, of course, don't want there not to be college football. But I also feel like the majority of sports media right now are kind of not doing their due diligence to report on certain sides of this pandemic, certain sides of this politicized issue that we're dealing with. And I believe it's hurting the chances of college football actually happening. And so I just wanted to get your thoughts, because you're one of the people that I've, you know, paid attention to, and I see the stuff you put out there, and it's like, oh, thank God there are people in sports media that are going to put out real shit. You know what I mean?
Dude, 100%. And you know, it's funny because even in the last week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, as I've gotten more comfortable just sharing what the truth is, you know, I've had so many assistant coaches, parents, players reach out to me privately through DMs to just say, or privately through whatever, just to say, thank you for being this voice. Now, I will add, as you know, I've also had some people calling me some names that I can't share on this podcast, because in the middle of a global pandemic, you know, I believe that we should at least for now be pressing forward with football. You know, I think what you said is totally accurate, Zach. Like a lot of the guys in the media, I know some of them I don't, and I'm not going to sit here and say like, this guy doesn't want football. Right.
Right.
But like, I do think that, you know, there have been times really in the last 5 months, but especially as we really ramped up here towards college football, that we're only getting one side of the story. And it's a little bit different now as we're recording now, the Big Ten is not playing, the Pac-12 is not playing. But even in the 2-3 weeks before those decisions were made, you know, I was talking to people in these conferences, be it coaches. I'm not saying I had Greg Sankey or Kevin Warren on the phone, but you know, there was probably more optimism than a lot of people in the media were reporting. And you know, and it was like every time something negative happened, whether it was the Miami Marlins in baseball, whether it was, you know, a positive cluster test in college football, you're only getting one side of the story without the context, right? So, I mean, you go back to June and LSU has whatever, you know, 25 positive cases. I think it was, if I remember correctly, I think they quarantined like 30 people. What they didn't say was that all those knuckleheads were out at a bar their first weekend back at campus. Some of them were only quarantined without even testing positive because they were just doing contact tracing and being safe. But that at the end of the day, there was a logical explanation for why all of that stuff was happening. And so, you know, that is where my frustration has been. That is where I think so many people behind the scenes in college football has been, that doesn't have a voice to speak out, or that can't speak out because they're a player, they're a coach, they have somebody to answer to. Where all I've ever tried to do, Zach, is say, let's just hear both sides of the story. If you're going to quote 7 anonymous sources that say there's no way we can play college football in the middle of July, maybe you should try and find one or two that says, hey, there's at least a possibility. And so we can break it down from here. I know I'm kind of rambling already, but that's been my frustration with this really for the last 3 or 4 months since players returned to campus in early June. is that even when we've had good news, we seem to only be getting one side of the story.
That's been my biggest issue. And I'm fortunate I kind of have a unique perspective because some of my best friends over the last 15 years are, you know, major players in college football. And so we obviously have a lot of candid conversations, a lot of things that they know because of our friendship that I'm not going to directly share. But I can promise you, when the Big Ten canceled the season, there's 10 people that I know very, very well within that program that were absolutely crushed, destroyed, and just shocked. I mean, blown away that it happened. And I'm looking at this from a big picture here. And the one thing that you mentioned to me that I still am just shocked by is there was a way to get this done. Even albeit the worst case scenario, if you're the doomsday person that believes that the NBA and NHL are doing it right, they're bubbling, they're doing all this stuff, they're isolating these athletes so that they can play. There was a way to do that. And it seems like, and this is where I'm interested in your perspective, because I'm not familiar with the West Coast. I have one really, really, one of my best friends is a coach at UCLA. That's literally my only contact that I speak to in the Pac-12. But the Pac-12 seems to be doing kind of what would have been a bubble scenario, right? No students on campus. The football players would be there practicing. They would go play. That almost is the best bubble you could get in college football. And then you flip the other side of the country, and the Big Ten is like, okay, we can't play football, but all you masses of people, 50,000 undergrads, come on back to Ohio State and get in your dorms, and let's collect that room and board check. It's astonishing. And I'm curious, kind of, you're out in California. What is the I guess, perspective and feeling out in Pac-12 country?
Well, the problem with the Pac-12 is that it's what you said, is that a lot of these campuses don't have students on them, aren't going to have undergrads. And obviously, look, I think you can look at it from both ways. I mean, I think the conversation a month, 6 weeks ago was, can you play college football if nobody else is on campus? Because then it's very clear that, you know, we're just trying to play football to make money to save our own, you know, our own hides. But then I think smarter heads prevailed and realized exactly what you said, Zach, is like, it is the smartest thing for us to do. Like it actually makes a lot of sense to play football when students aren't on campus. That's the safest it will ever possibly be. I think where the Pac-12 ran into some issues is that really state by state, it's crazy how different it is. And so, again, I do live in California, and I'll tell you, I don't know if your buddy UCLA referenced this, but gyms are still closed. They reopened for like 2 weeks, and then cases went way up. And because of it, gyms were closed, and the teams were actually kicked out of their facilities.
Wow.
And so, And so, listen, you know, I don't think Larry Scott, the Pac-12 commissioner, is very good at what he does. But this was one where I do kind of understand, and where if you follow me on social media, you see that I have a lot of anger towards the Big Ten right now, but I do kind of understand it from the Pac-12's perspective of, you could comment on this better than I could, but was it really realistic, even if you push back to September 26th, for players to be fully ready to go and play a season? I don't know, maybe they would have, and I use September 26th because that's when the SEC is kind of starting, and, you know, it's kind of a day that kind of makes sense, you know, for pretty much everybody, even if other conferences are starting. I will say, though, that also gets me to my biggest frustration with the Big Ten, which is exactly what you said. I looked it up last Saturday. 13 of the 14 campuses in the Big Ten are going to have students taking in-person classes. I understand every place is a little bit different. I understand some places it's going to be totally back to normal. Some places it's like a 50-50 hybrid. Some places there's a cap to how many students can be in a class before it goes online. I believe Iowa, it's 49 students. Once you hit 50, everything goes online. But it doesn't change the general point that I've been frustrated by, and that so many have brought up outside of me, which is, it really, if we're talking about player safety here, how does it make sense, one, to allow kids to go to class, allow kids to live in a dorm, allow kids to be on campus, but you can't play football? And then, oh, by the way, Zach, we found out this week, which I'm sure you've had plenty of conversations with your guys behind the scenes, we're still going to let players come into the facility and train and do all those things. And so it's like, it doesn't make sense. And like, my like broad thesis about all this over the last week, Zach, has been very simply this, is that, you know, the people that I talk to in the Big Ten, if there was real concrete data that made a ton of sense, if there was real reason, and obviously, look, there is reason. This is a scary situation. But the logic behind the decision didn't make sense. And so I think that's where the frustration from folks with the Big Ten comes, is like, not that the season was canceled, but that the season was canceled because of quote unquote safety. But one, we don't even know if it's safe or not because we never had a padded practice. And then two, on top of it, how can it be safe when there's 50,000, 30,000, 25,000, whatever undergrads walking around campus just as well? So, you know, to be clear, I have never once said I don't believe at any point that we need to play football or that we have to play football. Just that the Big Ten making the decision that they did based on the data that they had at that moment without considering other options like pushing back the start date, et cetera, made absolutely no sense.
No sense at all. And I think my biggest issue of how it went down was being in college football for whatever, 13 years, and just seeing some great leaders and seeing some awful ones, to be honest with you. I mean, you learn from bad leaders as much as you do from great leaders. I mean, for every Urban Meyer, there was other leaders, but albeit in administrator roles or whatever, where I learned a ton of what not to do and how awful things they did were. And I think the biggest thing that has struck me is just how horrible the leadership has been. And a lot, I've had several questions after my last episode where I really went after Kevin Warren about, like, what did you want him to do, right? The presidents voted, and they were the ones that canceled it. And that is very true. And I think it's important to say the you're talking about, we're relying on some academic people and a lot of them with legal backgrounds and things like that, that made a vote in the Big Ten to cancel. And I think my biggest issue is this pandemic happened, it started 5.5 months ago. And in that 5.5 months, in the Big Ten specifically, and you could educate me on the Pac-12, but I heard nothing from Kevin Warren or the Big Ten. Nothing. As far as, we want to play, here's a plan to play, here's some regulations, here's some precautions, here's some guidelines, here are some things that we believe you need to do, and we will help govern that everyone is doing it, so we all are on the same page, so we all are going to play and be comfortable playing. Because one of the only things I heard from Ohio State coaches and people on the staff was, I mean, this is going back a month ago, we're nervous that the season's going to get canceled because of other schools. Ohio State knew what they were doing as with testing and how they cleaned and just all their protocol. They knew they were kind of the trendsetters, the trailblazers. They were doing things that everyone either should be doing or needed to do, right? And they knew that other schools weren't. You go back to Rutgers having a house party and getting like a million cases in one day. I mean, things like that. And you look at it and you're like, I blame Big Ten leadership. I blame Kevin Warren for that. I don't blame him for the president's voting to cancel. He can't control that. I blame him for not preventing the presidents from canceling. And I'm curious, because the Pac-12, to give you the Midwest perspective, I've always felt the Pac-12 was dying to cancel, just waiting to cancel. And when the Big Ten pulled the trigger, the Pac-12 basically raised their hand and said, us too, yep, we're out. It was like, and obviously regional bias, there could have been stuff going on that we just didn't hear out here. But what was the Pac-12's leadership like in their planning, and or was it kind of what we perceive it out in the Midwest as, kind of they just never really did anything, and when the Big Ten canceled, they basically said, yep, we're out too?
No, I think you're 100% accurate, and that's been kind of my general, like, I haven't gotten it from anybody necessarily in the league office, but that was the sentiment that I got, is that I think the Pac-12 was really looking for a reason to cancel, some for the logical reasons that I said. A lot of their schools are not on campus. Some of them couldn't even get into their facility. And I think when they got wind that the Big Ten was ready to make this move last Saturday, Sunday, I think that, you know, I don't know what the right word is, but I think that they perked up and probably took a little interest to this and said, okay, we can get behind this. And certainly as the conversation kind of transitioned last weekend to the Big Ten almost trying to strong arm people trying to strong arm the other four Power Fives into making the same decision on the same timeline that they did, I do believe that, you know, the Pac-12 was one that fell in line pretty quickly. And so, you know, what I would say is that I don't want want to defend the Pac-12. I really don't want to, you know, like, well, and it sucks because I live out here.
Right.
And I think some of the narratives are completely true. I think some of them aren't as true. You know, I think what Mario Cristobal is doing at Oregon is incredible. I think whether Clay Helton is the right answer or not at USC, and he probably isn't, the school is starting to invest like an Ohio State, like a Florida, like a Georgia in recruiting and the things that they need to do. And they're recruiting really well. So I do think that some of the, some of the narratives about the Pac-12 falling behind the other four conferences are probably a little bit, you know, unfactual, whatever the right word is. But I do think, like, yeah, I do think that one, that they were looking for a reason out. And I think, two, they did have some real logistical hurdles to get over that, as best I can tell, some of these other conferences don't. You know, again, living in California, our governor, Gavin Newsom, you know, I don't want to get political here, but a lot of the constituents in our state don't agree with some of the decisions that he's made. But he really did put, you know, some of these schools in a really, really tough position in California, Arizona. There's been all sorts of ebbs and flows in what they're doing, although I can tell you definitively that Arizona's, you know, I think Arizona starts class on Monday and they have kids on campus. I know some of the guys in the basketball program over there, and they were getting kids moved into the dorms over the weekend. So I bring it up to say, like, I think you're 100% right. I do think that while part of it was out of the Pac-12's control, I don't know that they ever really had a great plan to actually play football this year. And the crazy part is, too, Zach, is that a lot like a lot of these Big 12 programs or Big 10 programs, excuse me, the testing was working. I mean, USC was very successful in its testing. And the crazy part about USC is that they're a private school. They didn't even have to release their test numbers. But when they did throughout the summer, they were mostly trending in the right direction. You know, I've been told that testing at Oregon went really well. And Oregon, of course, is a place maybe not quite exactly like Ohio State. But when you talk about financials and resources, certainly probably the best on the West Coast. So I think what you said is 100% accurate, is that I do believe they were looking for kind of a get out of jail free card. I think the Big Ten provided it to them. I don't know how early on they realized that football probably wasn't realistic, but I also do think they were facing some real uphill battles that, at least for right now, these other conferences aren't.
For sure. And I can take that, you know, national landscape conversation and shrink it to the microcosm that is the Big Ten. When you allow 14 teams to vote on whether we should play or not, they all are going to selfishly vote. I mean, we could say it was about player safety. We could say it was COVID-19 related. But the reality is this. You bring Rutgers, Maryland, Michigan State, programs that honestly would benefit more from not playing and just working their program and building their program up for, you know, another 12 months. They would benefit more from not playing. You look at, and I've said it from day one, and this was just about spring being canceled. You look at a school like Florida State, brand new head coach, brand new program. Michigan State, brand new head coach, brand new program. Greg Schiano at Rutgers, brand new head coach, brand new program. They are trying to institute their beliefs, their core values, their program. They're trying to recruit their players in, right? So playing that first season, you know, with the exception of 2012 and Urban Meyer's tenure at Ohio State, usually that first season is a growing pain season. So they have there's no skin off their back if they don't play. When the vote comes up, they're like, you know what? I don't mind not playing. Let us just keep working and we'll play the next year. And it's like, I sit here and I'm like, why do they have the same voice? Because Ohio State is the other end of the spectrum, right? National contender immediately, Heisman contender immediately. And if they don't play, and God forbid, if the SEC does play, that will set Ohio State back years.
Okay. So, Zach, let me jump in on that. First of all, it's an incredible point that I hadn't thought of. And I totally agree that while some teams can build momentum by not playing, a program like Penn State, like Ohio State can't. Or they could potentially lose momentum, right? Obviously,
right.
If Big Ten football doesn't get played, Justin Fields will never play another down at Ohio State. Let me ask you a question as somebody who is in it, because one of my points, and some people agree and some people don't, I believe that this could be crippling for the Big Ten. If the SEC and ACC figure out a way to play college football this year, I do believe that, and successfully, and listen, that doesn't mean that zero games get canceled or whatever, but I believe in terms of one, I know for certain some of these guys that are either committed to Big Ten schools or are playing at Big Ten schools that could transfer and be eligible right away are being essentially recruited right off teams' rosters as we speak. But am I inaccurate by saying that this could be crippling for the Big Ten? Because I just think, you know how Kirby Smart operates. You know how Nick Saban operates. And I'm not criticizing them. I think I would do the same thing. If you don't play this season, are those guys not going to go into the next meeting with every other five-star and say, you sure you want to go to Ohio State? You sure you want – I mean, look at what just happened. I mean, what's next? Who knows what else could cancel the season? Am I crazy for thinking that, or is that very much what could happen if the Big Ten doesn't play this year?
Well, you're not crazy for thinking it, but you'll get called crazy for saying it. That's what I've learned, because that was my immediate response on social media, on this show, was that this is catastrophic for the Midwest football. And it is, because, and this is what people don't understand. People will look at, I don't know, this class that's committed, right? And Ohio State, I would bet, loses no recruits, maybe one, right? Because that relationship has been built for so long.
Sure.
And those kids have already fallen in love with the fact that they are Buckeyes. But I always rewind to my time at Florida in 2005, our first year. My time at Ohio State in 2012, my first year. Both scenarios, when we went out recruiting, and granted, I was a GA at Florida, so I'm going to talk about Ohio State mainly. When we went out nationally and recruited for Ohio State, it was not sexy to go to Ohio State. It was not attractive to go to Ohio State. And what you have to do is you have to instill somehow, some way, and there's many ways to do it, making that decision to at least be interested in Ohio State attractive or popular. And it starts with winning games. It starts with playing football, right? And then once you have success, then it comes down to, if you can get one kid, one big-time recruit to come visit, then other kids in the area see it. And so that stuff is groundwork that was laid from 2012, 8 years now, 8 years of groundwork, to the point where when I got fired at Ohio State, you could walk into any school with any kid, and the minute you showed interest, boom, he was interested. I mean, it took no effort to get him interested. Then you had to get him. Whole nother conversation. But what this could do is reset that entire process. And it's not this class, maybe not even the next class. It's that eighth grader that nobody knows is a recruit yet. And this season, he's going to only watch the SEC, ACC, and Big 12. Yeah. And then he's going to be told by everyone else in South Florida, man, that Big 10 shit is whack. They don't even care about football. Look, they're not playing. And for the next 4 years, he's going to believe that. And when Ohio State walks in the door to talk to him, he's going to be like, nah, man, I'm not going to Ohio State. I'm going to stay down south. And now all that work is reversed. And it is catastrophic. If these teams play in the South and the Big Ten doesn't, it will set Big Ten football back. And the sad part is they didn't need a setback. They still needed to catch up. Like the conference as a whole needs to catch up to the SEC. They can't afford a setback. So yes, to answer your question, absolutely a setback, a major setback. And I know that people in the Midwest and Ohio State fans specifically are just praying they don't play, that everyone cancels.
Well, 100%, and it's crazy because, you know, I certainly have never been involved in the recruiting stuff that you have, but even just talking to kids, talking to parents, it is amazing how quickly you can go from, like, you literally have one good season, you are the talk of everybody, you have one bad season, nobody wants to go there. And, like, I look at even this offseason, Tennessee, I think, won, like, their last six games of the season or something last year. They didn't beat Georgia, they didn't beat Florida, they didn't beat Alabama. But it's like they got some real momentum going into the offseason, and they killed it in recruiting just this past year. And so, or this past spring, excuse me, when everything shut down. And so it's so interesting to me because I totally agree. Kids are so, I don't think, you know, the average fan understands. I don't want to say fickle's not necessarily the right word, but they just know what they've just seen. And, there's so much recency bias in what we do. You know, I cover a little bit. I cover a lot of college hoops too, actually. And you know, you had in one off season, no one had ever even heard of Texas Tech. They go to a Final Four, and then when you ask, a top 25 kid who he's hearing from, one of the first schools that comes out of his mouth is Texas Tech. And Yeah, it's so interesting that you verified that to me, because to me, that's what I see. And again, it goes into exactly what you just said of like, if we get a full season and there's enthusiasm and there's excitement and we get Bama Clemson or Clemson Georgia or whatever, and then, you know, one, I don't even know if spring would happen at that point. I don't know how you get your players fired up to play in the spring, you know, especially at Ohio State after teams that you know you could have played with are crowning a national champion. But then it's like, I just think it would only take that one fall with those 6, 7, 8 big Clemson, Alabama, Georgia games on TV, even if there's no fans, even if it's a different deal, and Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, Nebraska just being completely out of the picture. It's just so fascinating that you confirmed it to me, because that's what I've thought since this decision was made, and you basically just, you know, it crystallized exactly what I had been thinking.
Yeah, and it is. It's the most, I mean, up and down, there's ebb and flows. It's fickle, like you said. And I go back to 2014. A great example was we were, you know, amidst going into the 2014 season. Obviously, hindsight, we win the national championship. Everything's great. But I'm recruiting receivers. And we were just doing okay. We weren't really getting some of the top kids to get on campus. And I was working my ass off at it. And Urban even made the comment about, it was about midseason. He said, listen, you just keep working. Let us go win this whole thing. If we do, they'll all come running. And they did. You fast forward, we go get KJ Hill. We beat Alabama and Arkansas on KJ Hill out of Arkansas. KJ Hill ends up the all-time leading reception leader in Ohio State history. And that was a kid that, I mean, I hadn't even really talked to, because he wasn't really interested. We win the national championship, we go in and get him. And that's how fluid it is. I mean, you talk about one great season, one magical season. I can't imagine what has gone on for Clemson the last couple years, just being able to walk into school and everyone's like, oh shit, Clemson's here. All right, well, we appreciate Aaron coming on. There's obviously, that's half the episode. There's a whole nother, I think, 25 minutes, maybe 30 minutes of content that Aaron and I sat and talked about, and some awesome stuff just about the legal side of all of this, some more insight into the Pac-12, and also some insight into just kind of how it relates to the narratives of the media drove when the NBA announced there was going to be a bubble, and the NHL bubble, and Major League Baseball, and college football, and just the lineage of how all that happened. And just really awesome to get Aaron's perspective. So if you're interested in checking out the rest of the interview, it's $2.99 a month. You can even do an annual subscription now, so it could be even cheaper than that. And you get all of our full episodes. But like I've said from day one, if you want to support us, want to ride with us, less than $3, come support us. We appreciate it. If not, you can't afford it, or you just don't want to, but you still want to listen, we're still going to put out 45, 50-minute episodes twice a week just to give you great content, that because we appreciate you no matter what. If you support us, great. We really appreciate that, obviously. But if you don't want to support us or can't support us, we still appreciate you just for listening. So if you do want to support or don't want to support, do me a favor. Share this with a friend. Text them the link to the episode, and let's try to grow this audience, because we're trying to make a push. College football season was supposed to be that push, but unfortunately the Big Ten shut down, so now it'll have to be a national college football season to help make that push. So anyways, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. As always, we appreciate you. Hope you were educated. Hope you were entertained. Hope you learned something, took something away, or if nothing else, hope you just killed 50 minutes mowing your grass. Either way, we appreciate you. And if you didn't like it, go fuck yourself, San Diego.
What a hit, Denzel Ward! You got barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
You'll be pleased to know this is the last time I'm hosting. I don't care anymore. I'm joking. I never did.
Braxton Miller's loose spin move.
You're in no position to lecture the public about anything. You know nothing about the real world.
He'll run it after the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Lucky for me, the press can barely speak English.
But they are who we thought they were.
Well, he has trouble with the snap. And the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts Jackson. And he scores on the last play of the game. Unbelievable.
Well, then get the fuck out of here then. Okay, see ya.